Well, I appreciate everybody calling in and the folks here in the room with us. And I'm going to call this meeting in order. This is Idaho Water Resource Board meeting number 4-15. It's just a work session to discuss some ideas, and it's being held on the phone and in Boise at the Idaho Water Center. And I guess our first item would be roll call.
Mr. Cuddy?
Aye.
Mr. Alberti?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Aye.
Mr. Raybould?
Here.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Here.
Mr. Vanstone?
Here.
Mr. Barker?
Present.
And Chairman Chase?
Here.
We have 8 present, Mr. Chairman.
And in the room, why don't we just go around the table?
Brian Patton, Water Resources.
John Simpson.
Cynthia Clark, Water Resources.
Jeff Faraday, Givens Person.
Mandy Pearson.
John Bowling.
Sarah Heiger.
Okay. Turn it over to Brian to get us going.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, main topic of business this morning is the Surface Water Coalition delivery call, and I will just give some brief background on the Surface Water Coalition delivery call for those that have not been immersed in it on a day-to-day basis. The Surface Water Coalition is made up of 7 different canal companies and irrigation districts that divert water from the Snake River in the Magic Valley area. It includes the Twin Falls Canal Company, Northside Canal Company, Burley Irrigation District, Minidoka Irrigation District, A&B Irrigation District, Milner Irrigation District, and the American Falls Reservoir District, number 2. The Surface Water Coalition members rely in part on spring flows from the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer that feed into the Snake River in the American Falls region. For part of their water supplies. They also have other natural flows and reservoir supplies. The Surface Water Coalition filed a delivery call against junior groundwater users back in 2005 at the end of what might be the worst drought on record. The department retained Chief Justice Schroeder of the Supreme Court to act as a hearing officer in this matter, preside over that hearing, and provide recommendations on this matter to the department. In 2008, then Director Tuthill accepted the recommendations from hearing officer Schroeder. But it took another couple of years until 2010 until the department issued what is called the methodology order. That's basically an order that lays out the process and procedure for determining the extent of injury to the Surface Water Coalition members from junior priority groundwater pumping in the aquifer, and then also how much mitigation the junior priority groundwater pumpers would be required to provide in any given year. That methodology order has been in effect since 2010. It's been more or less static since then, although various aspects of that methodology order have been litigated in several different court actions in front of both the district court and the Supreme Court. What makes this a little bit unique is that this is not a static replacement flow amount in these mitigation requirements like Rangan, where the order says you will provide whatever the number is, 10 CFS constantly. The Surface Water Coalition members have other water supplies from the river and reservoirs. Because the spring flows from the aquifer contribute to the river supplies, the shortfall then is made up by junior groundwater users, either through mitigation or through curtailment. So the groundwater users have a variable obligation from year to year, ranging from maybe zero or very small to fairly large. And you don't know until you get into this part of the year. That annual injury determination is really consists of 2 parts. One is an in-season injury determination that's made at the start of the irrigation season, right about this time of the year. And then the second is a storage carryover injury that is determined at the end of the irrigation season. to allow for reasonable storage carryover into the following year. The in-season demand is based in part on the April 1 runoff forecast, and then issued within a couple of weeks of that April 1 runoff forecast. I did mention that some aspects of that methodology order have been litigated in various court actions, and some recent court actions have resulted in the court kicking that or various parts of that order back to the department to incorporate some additional components. And that is contributing to some uncertainty among the parties as to how that's going to play itself out. So that is an aspect that folks are dealing with right now. The in-season injury, or it's commonly known as the as-applied order, will be issued by the director next week, laying out what that in-season injury is expected to be and what the groundwater users would be required to provide as far as mitigation. Although these numbers are preliminary and are not final until the order is issued next week by the director, that order is likely to include a determination of injury in the vicinity of 100,000 acre feet. And that's fairly large. That's a big number. To put that in perspective, that would equate to approximately 100,000 acres of curtailment of groundwater acres on the plain and curtailing back to a priority date of approximately 1981. This is catching the junior groundwater users and many folks off guard for a number of reasons. The first is because that is a big number. I think it's bigger. I'm not positive, but I think it's bigger than has been issued before or required before. Second, there was no warning letter issued because back in February, water supplies were actually looking pretty good. In fact, the Bureau was moving into flood control operations in the Upper Snake Basin. Third is that the reservoir system in the Upper Snake really is essentially full or mostly full, so it's sort of counterintuitive that these surface water users should be owed mitigation by the groundwater users when we have essentially a full reservoir system. So that's catching folks off guard. One other complicating factor is that in terms of when we think about the flow augmentation requirement out of the Upper Snake Reservoir, which is also based on a methodology that is being worked right now, it looks like there may be a 100,000 acre foot flow augmentation requirement out of the Upper Snake Reservoir. So we have the prospect for 100,000 acre feet of flow augmentation being required to be sent downriver, while at the same time we have a 100,000 acre foot mitigation obligation by the groundwater users and potential curtailment of those groundwater users if they can't come up with that 100,000 acre feet of water. So that's a complicating factor that we need to think about. And then perhaps just because this is a very interesting hydrologic year, the just intuition that folks have developed over the last 5 years in dealing with this the as applied order, it just isn't holding up this year because of the interesting hydrologic conditions we're having. So with that as a background, Roger, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Brian. You know, I don't know how important this meeting was, but when we heard about this on Monday, I thought it was something that maybe as a board we should discuss and possibly discuss in a couple ways. I mean, first off, as I've talked to each of the board members, just to see if we have any ideas on anything that could help us short term. Water conservation, water that might be leased. Are there agencies that we should ask to see if they could give us some relief? And as I told you, I don't think there's any idea that we shouldn't. If you got an idea, we should talk about it because, you know, 1,000 acre feet here and 1,000 acre foot there would add up eventually to help us a little bit on that. And then the second thing I thought we could take just a few minutes to discuss after we've gone through the short-term solution, to just talk about, are there some ideas that we need to really start looking at as a board? And some of those choices will be tough choices on what can we do in the future, because one of the things that worries me, number one, I can't predict the weather very well, what it's going to be like in the future, but it seems to me we might be in a cycle for a while where calls could be potentially there at a higher level than they have in the past every year, which makes it very difficult, I would think, for anybody to farm. So with that, that's kind of where I was at, and I just thought we'd open it up for comments from anybody, to just any thoughts you have on this, and go from there. And don't be shy.
Mr. Chairman, just like to ask Clive if he had anything to add to the background that I provided.
No, I do not.
Thanks.
Roger, this is Bert. Does the Water Board own water in Cascade?
Mr. Chairman, Bert, the answer is no.
Okay, I had understood at one time that we had had some water there.
At one point, there was discussions about the Water Board buying the remaining uncontracted storage in Cascade. And then flow augmentation came about, and the Bureau pulled that offer back. Now, there is a small amount of Black Canyon water that the Board has access to through an exchange agreement. We put that exchange agreement in place as kind of a pilot to see if a large-scale exchange could work. But it's in the neighborhood of 2,800 acre feet, so it's very, very small compared to what we're dealing with.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that, Brian.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff. With regard to Cascade storage, what kind of a water supply is there available for the Cascade this year, and is it even feasible to consider doing some sort of an exchange of flow aug water out of Cascade for flow aug out of the Upper Snake?
Jeff, the Payette Basin's looking pretty decent this year. I think it should fill. As far as getting a flow augmentation exchange, pulling more out of the Payette and offsetting the requirement out of the Snake, that's going to be really in the Bureau's court to agree to.
Mr. Chairman, this is Vince. If the Cascade water were available, do you have an idea then, Brian, about how much that would be of the 100,000 shortfall?
I don't right offhand. There are some operational restrictions the Bureau has in terms of how fast they can pull water out of that basin. So I could give you raw acre foot numbers, but I know there's some of those operational restrictions that would come into play that may impact those numbers. That's just something that may have to be worked out in discussions with the Bureau.
What's the outlook in regards to tribal water? I don't know if the director has spoken with, for example, the American Falls has got some Idaho Power water, if that might be available. Those two sources, plus, of course, the water bank.
This is Roger. Correct me
and
if
Pocatello
I'm
water, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I can comment on that. I mean, Pocatello has water, so I mean, there's water there that you could probably, in some way, lease some water from them. As I understand it, it's water that is not considered going below Milner, so I think they're looking for money. So that's an opportunity that we could talk about. From Idaho Power's perspective, just briefly, what I've heard is that's probably very tough for them to do anything. They would certainly wish but in reality, there's not much we can do there with their water in American Falls. It's more restricted every year, I guess, is the best way to
describe it. And I can understand that.
So on those two things, and as we've looked around, I mean, the one, when you look for a lot of water, probably the best thing that anybody's been able to come up with, and it's a reach, is the Payette system, using water from the Payette to supplement. I don't know what some of the storage groups have as far as in the reservoirs, but I think that there might be some interest from a couple of them also to maybe lease some water to help out.
Chairman, Al Barker, I think you're going to have a hard time finding any additional water out of the Payette for this effort, because my impression is, and I don't know the numbers, but my impression is that the Bureau already uses whatever water they've got in the Payette for flow augmentation anyway, and there's not going to be another 100,000 acre feet or anything close to that available in the Payette for flow augmentation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been renting water from the Upper Snake all these years, because they could have used their own water in the Payette for that purpose. So I think it doesn't hurt to ask the Bureau to see what kind of flexibility they have, but I'd be real surprised if there's very much from that source.
That's good to know.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, John Bowling just handed me the Payette flow augmentation projection, and I think you may be right. They are projecting using 110,000 acre feet of uncontracted space plus 70,000 acre feet from rentals for a total of 180,000 acre feet. So given that, it might be a little bit unlikely that there would be a lot of additional water sloshing around in the Payette Basin.
Any other thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, did we concur that the tribal water is not available?
I don't know the answer to that. Does anybody?
This is John Bowling. This is the last year of our rental agreement with the tribe, and I just talked to their agent yesterday on how much water would be available for release. We've contracted with them for up to 45,716 acre feet, and we usually release that water in August, and it's fairly expensive water for us. But I don't know how much additional water they're going to have available from their Palisades storage. Maybe John Simpson has a better idea of that, but they thought that all of their American Falls would space would fill, and I think they have 47 or 48,000 American Falls. And, I guess you'd have to ask about Palisades water that might be available.
Did you hear that, everybody? Okay.
You might understand that there would be about 45,000 then available.
Well, I don't know if it's available.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd have to ask the tribe if it's available, I guess.
Yeah, we're contracted to, if that water's available and we don't use it, we still have to pay for it. So chances are it's not available for anything other than hydropower.
And one thing about these ideas, in my mind, I mean, all of them are a reach that we're thinking about. But I think we kind of have an obligation as a board to at least ask, unless you guys think that's not the proper thing to do. But I'm concerned that if we don't ask, people are going to want to know why we don't. Certainly whatever happens, if this politically could get very ugly very rapidly, I think it's important as a board that we can show that we're trying to look at this and also be somewhat guarded in what we say, because again, it's going to be very hard for us to find water. But as we go to the second half of the meeting and we talk a little bit about what can we do in the future to help this, I think that's going to be very important, again, particularly when the legislature asks us next year about what are we doing. I think, as we've all talked, they're expecting results, and they're getting some results, but these results will take us years to get where we need to get. So that's why I say there's no idea that's not a good idea to talk about today, because if we don't ask, we don't know.
Roger, this is Jeff. Two things. One, when this calculation is being made, and I believe it's still being refined, is there any consideration to the amount of recharge that took place over the winter? Is the director putting any weight on any of that water returning into the river? I mean, I don't think it'd be a lot, but it'd be something that I think should be considered. And then the second thing is, do we have any kind of an idea what the groundwater users are willing to pay for mitigation water? Because I think the size of the block of water available is going to be somewhat determinant on the value placed on it. If we find the right number, I think there can be a pretty good chunk of water made available. But, there's a lot of unknowns there. It's hard to decide how much water you could come up with until you know what they can afford to pay.
On the first question, or on some of those questions, and Brian will probably give you better answers than I will. I mean, recharge for mitigation, there's been discussions on that for a long time, how to do that. It would be a major change if we start going that way, I believe.
Well, Roger, I'm not talking about recharge for mitigation. I'm talking about there's got to be some kind of a calculation that there's only going to be so much spring flow come into the river. And because there's only so much spring flow and only so much runoff expected from HISI, there's a deficit there that's got to be mitigated by the groundwater users.
Correct.
And what I'm saying is, have we calculated our sustainability efforts of recharge into that number? Because there must be some water coming back to the river, or else if it's not coming back to the river, why are we recharging?
Jeff, the answer is yes, those reach gain indicators are embedded into that methodology.
Okay.
And as you said, that methodology is still being, or the number is still being refined, and the department is trying to look at that methodology and make any adjustments in order to comply with the court's most recent order. But those those reach gain indicators are included in that methodology.
I would just like to be able to demonstrate that the efforts that we're making with recharge have somewhat lessened the mitigation requirement. I mean, that's the goal, is long-term to stabilize the SPA so there's enough water for everybody. That's a reach, and that's a long ways out there, but I assume that's our goal.
Yeah, I think the goal is to stabilize the aquifer and rebuild the aquifer so that it can meet all the water needs that we are asking the aquifer to meet.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman, this is Al Barker. I wanted to follow up on Jeff's comment. I think it's a good observation. We ought to be able to know the impact of what we're doing, and whether or not this order tries to tease out that element of water supply, probably maybe more than what the director is being asked to do. But we ought to know, I agree with Jeff, we ought to know what good we're doing. And I don't know how we find the answer to that, but if we're just going to pour water into the ground and it's not having an effect on any of these other disputes that are going on, we have to ask ourselves why we're doing it.
Mr. Barker, Al, yeah, I agree entirely, and I am pushing our hydrology guys pretty hard on that aspect right now. We've been thinking about it really in terms of the Swan Falls minimum flows, and this is going to be another angle that I'm going to have to go back and ask them to figure out.
And Mr. Chairman, also, I think Jeff's point about water maybe being available at the right price is an important thing to think about, because I remembering back to Brian's introduction, if the reservoirs are full or essentially full in the Upper Snake, there ought to be water available for rental, not simply for the Bureau, but for other uses if the Upper Snake reservoirs are full. And I don't know if anybody's looked at that, because that seems to me the most logical source of mitigation water.
From the discussions we had yesterday, it did look like that they're going to be pretty close to full, if not full.
Yeah, although natural flows will probably be in shorter supply this year than in past years. So there might be heavier draws by those storage users than normal.
One thought along that line, and this is one of those questions I probably should know, but I don't. Is there any precedent or a way that the board could, if the cost for buying water is so high, or maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it, to use some of our money to help offset that cost, or is that a bad thought?
You may want to be cautious going that way. Although the other side of that equation is any rental pool pricing decisions must ultimately come through you.
And along those same lines, is there any, and it's probably getting too expensive, paying people not to grow their crops this year? Probably don't get much water out of that because the cost is so high. I keep looking what they do in Washington, and they seem to be doing that sometimes. And I guess that...
Roger, this is Bert. I would think that the ultimate thing that will happen here is you're going to find out how much they're willing to pay for water when an order is issued to curtail people. A good share of the crops, when that order comes out, will have already been planted. And let me tell you, when like Vince told me the other day, when you come out here in the middle of May and say you're going to curtail, and then all that raw augmentation water goes past Milner, it may look, I don't know how many guns there are.
You know, but Mr. Chairman, the thing that Bert and I were discussing is the, if in fact the reservoir system fails and the chart shows that there's 100,000 due for flow log, we could find ourselves in a horrible PR position that we're curtailing and the Surface Water Coalition is not getting any water, and we got flows of 100,000 going through Milner. You know, that brings back thoughts of Klamath, of what happened in Klamath. We could be, we know our water users in the state, and we know the water users here in the Magic Valley. Watch that Milner really, really close. And that, to me, is the worst of all outcomes. If we have to release 100,000 acre feet, and the curtailments are there, and the Surface Water Coalition needs haven't been met.
I think everybody probably in this room recognizes that. I mean, it's, you know, 100,000 goes by, 100,000 is not used to help the farm community.
But communicating that to the user so that he understands it is really going to be a big job. because on just when you look at it, it just doesn't make sense. It just absolutely doesn't make sense when you're in the drought and you have to make those kinds of releases under these conditions.
Well,
Roger, this is Bert again, and I have a question that maybe Clive needs to answer for my edification. We've always used the Heisey gauges and the reservoir fill as determining how much water we have to have. And what's brought about having to use these other, what is it, Botch Canyon, Blind Canyon, which one of those do we have to fit in? And when that was even below where the water comes in for other people, I was wondering why we made that change in calculation.
That's really not a question I can answer for you, Bert. That's more of a policy choice that's been made by the department, so I'd have to turn to Brian to answer that question. I don't know if we have the right, whether he's in a position to be able to answer it or not.
Right, Bert, I would prefer not to answer that question in this forum, because I suspect that since this is a contested case and a legal matter, there will be plenty of chances for folks to ask that question within the contested case framework here, probably beginning next week, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, except it doesn't give me any... I guess I don't understand why we've made this
right.
change that makes such a big difference in the amount of water requirement.
I don't think the changes that the department is making in the methodology are increasing the requirement. The changes the department is trying to make in the methodology is trying to answer the orders from the court and improve the accuracy of what that requirement is.
Thanks, Brian.
Any other thoughts? Let me tell you, to kind of summarize where I think we're at, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. It looks like there's some questions we need to ask, and they're hard questions, and we recognize that the chances of getting a big win with any one of them is probably unlikely, but we got to ask. I mean, looks like we need to find out if the tribe has any water that's available. We need to ask the Bureau if there's anything that they can do to help us... then we also, somewhere down the line, will eventually have to find out what the cost of water is going to be and what's available that could be leased down there. Is there anything I'm leaving out of us trying?
Roger, I talked to Lynn Tominaga yesterday, and in our discussion, the number of 17... dollars an acre foot, and maybe it was even more than that. So I think that's the number we're looking in answer to Jeff's question. I guess around $20 what they're looking at. And I don't know whether Jeff feels like that would cut any water loose or not.
Well, you know, I think you get up around $20 an acre foot, and there's going to be some significant interest. I think everybody's walking around on eggshells right now because it's drier than it's ever been, and nobody knows what their allocation's going to be. But I think there are those who have significant blocks of storage that, for the right amount of money, would probably allow some of that to be used for this mitigation.
Any other thoughts on short term? Well, I guess those will be the three things we'll look at, and if you come up with an idea, I mean, do not be scared to call Brian or myself or Cynthia or anybody with the ideas that are out there. I think it's also very important for the board, as we discuss these things, to be positive. In a situation that there's probably not a lot of positives, and understand that much of what we're doing is going to take a few years to help us, And I think that's especially important when we talk to legislators, that we've got a plan and the plan will work, but it's going to take a few years to get it where it has significant,
right.
It makes a significant difference.
Especially the recharge piece.
Especially the recharge piece. If that, there's nothing else, ideas for the future. I mean, we haven't discussed this much, but just, I mean, we probably should start right now because that'd be one of the questions, I guess, if I was a legislator, I'd say, okay, this is what you're doing. What are you?
Roger, I have one more question for when you're talking about trying to sell this to the public. I have a question for John Boley. Can he get a number of, or have we done any cloud seeding? You know, if we can tell people that we haven't just been sitting on our duff, we've been getting cloud seeding things done that got us X number of water, how do we fix that, John?
Yeah, Bert, we have been doing cloud seeding, and actually the Upper Snake was probably one of the more successful basins to seed this year. They seem to get more storms. I think that upper area above Palisades, we've seeded that quite a bit. So I think, I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are and what the frequency is, but it's information that I can get pretty easily. And as far as runoff from this year, an additional snow water equivalent, we can probably take a guess at what that is. It's kind of early. We usually have to do quite a bit of analysis to figure that out after runoff and those sort of things. But we definitely have done seeding in the Upper Snake. And we've done a little in the Wood Basin and the Boise Basin and, of course, the Payette Basin. So, but I think the Upper Snake is probably where we have the most seeding and where it was probably the most effective.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think one thing we've been skirting around a little bit is the flow augmentation obligation from on the feds. And one thing to remember is that right now the litigation is going full steam in the FCRPS. They've been filing all their briefs and they've are headed towards a hearing in front of the court. And it's probably not useful in that context to have the Bureau report to the court that they're not able to meet their obligations at this time. So we ought to keep that in mind, that given the context or given the circumstances that are going on that ESA litigation, you know, we've been pretty successful in keeping that 30-year agreement going for, I don't know, Clive, are we halfway there?
Not quite halfway there, but we're getting close.
But we'd like to keep it going for the full 30 years. So I'm not saying we don't ask the Bureau, but we need to be careful about undermining that agreement.
That's a great point, Al. Now, I should know this one, too. I'm sorry I don't know everything. I think I do, but I realize I don't. But there's nowhere that the Bureau has excess water that doesn't go for that flow augmentation, is there? I'm getting all shakes of no here, so I guess that's the answer. Okay. We'll move real quickly. You know, we need to start having a discussion about where are we going to go in the future with this. One of my concerns is that what we're going to do right now?
If that's where you want
yeah.
to go. Yeah.
To decide what are you going to do in the future? I mean, the way it's written here on this sheet of paper Brian just handed me is, what is needed? A settlement framework agreed to by all parties to provide safe harbor to participating junior groundwater users that allows them to get off the roller coaster. And to me, that makes a lot of sense because if we're in a dry cycle if it stopped this year, that's great. But if it doesn't and it goes on for 4 or 5 years, I guess this is going to happen every year this time of year, that we're going to be in a situation that's going to be very tough. to maintain the agriculture economy in the Snake River Plain, and particularly for the junior people, it's going to become almost impossible to manage what they're going to do.
Roger, in regards to that, I knew, though, that Carlquist and Dean have been meeting with the manager of Northside Canal Company, and also I think they've been trying to set up a meeting with Twin Falls to work out a deal similar to negotiate something with them that give people some long-term protection. I don't know what the details are, and I'm not sure they're far enough along yet to do, but it is, part of it is that people will use less water, and if they do, then these people will remember them kindly.
Well, that's real encouraging, Bert, because that's one of the things you hope, that we can stay civil and really try to find some solutions to this, and new ways to do it. And if they're doing that discussion, a lot of these things will come out that might help us there. I think also some of the things that have come to my mind is we're going to probably need to have more discussion on the trust water down the road. If there's ways that we could augment having some, what did we call those, restabilizing ponds?
Oh, regulating reservoirs.
Regulating reservoirs. Is there any way the board can help with something like that if it makes a difference? But I don't know what other ideas folks have about the, are there things that we can do? Is there an opportunity? We realize with the storage projects that we're doing, certainly having the board acquiring some water rights and possibly one or two of those reservoirs would probably be pretty important too for us. But I don't know if anybody has anything else on that.
Well, Roger, one of the things that makes this really difficult is you've got the speaker, and I think Brian's involved in this meeting tomorrow down there with the Hegerman people trying to resolve those issues, and we're trying to resolve all of these things at one time, and then you come along and curtail people. It's anti-productive as far as negotiating. Get people frustrated.
You know, Bert, I think that's why we have the board we have today, because I think we understand that, but we know we got to try. And that is a challenge. I mean, there's not enough money to do everything we need to do at once. But my thoughts on that are always that, and this is why this call is so scary to me, is because this could set us back a long ways if our good feelings we're doing and good things we're doing right now, because this is going to be ugly. It has that potential. But you are right on that. We're trying to get the aquifer recharged, and now we've got another issue that we've got to address with sooner than later.
Well, part of the problem is we're trying to find, or they're trying to find water for the Hegerman thing, and that takes water, and we can't even find enough water to save off a call. These are difficult. Proceed on, Mr. Chairman.
You're right. They are difficult. And I think it's one of the things, and Jeff, you can yell at me if I'm out of line on this. I mean, of our three storage projects, the one up in Island Park is one that maybe has the best chance of being completed, and maybe there's some solutions there for us of acquiring some of that water.
Definitely. Roger, I would say, I think Brian's involved in that meeting tomorrow with Scott Bedke.
I'm going to be there too.
Okay. What I would suggest you do is talk to Dean and Lynn about what they're proposing to these irrigation districts, and that would be then they know what they're talking about rather than getting it from me secondhand.
Bert, this is Brian. That's a great suggestion. I think we can have some offline conversations with Dean and Lynn and Scott Bedke and Clive and Roger. And as Scott Bedke has, or Speaker Bedke has also, you know, committed his support to trying to move into a long-term or a settlement framework discussions with the Surface Water Coalition as well. To try and put a long-term resolution to that, so I think this could very well, you know, kick that effort off.
Well, rather than me take any more time on that particular issue, why don't you talk to Dean and Lynn tomorrow about that? Hey, Chuck Cuddy.
Yeah.
Why don't you have Galloway finished by now, and that would give us some water?
Well, I've been sitting here thinking about that. That's for sure. It's a good way to talk about accelerating that plan.
Well, you know, and Cynthia and I have had a lot of discussions on that because, you know, one of the issues that this makes people in the Weezer Basin fearful of that is they think that maybe the only reason we're building that reservoir is to supplement what happens off the Snake River Plain, and we have to reassure them that it has benefits for the whole state and some very specific ones for them. But it's just like Island Park. At the end of the day, those two projects could, either one of them happens, it could help us.
Well, that's every little bit of water.
Yeah. Anything else from anybody?
Roger, this is Dale. This one question. The flows of the Snake River, are they decreasing right now, and is that normal for this time of year? Maybe Brian would know that.
Yeah, I'll let one of the smart guys answer that one.
They're much lower than we would like to see for this time of year. We're seeing some, and in fact, you actually, I don't know if yeah, they
we
know.
Touched on that yesterday.
We touched on
they're
this
about
yesterday.
Some of the lowest we've ever seen.
Yeah, we actually at the end of March dipped under the Swan Falls minimum flows for a 3-day period before that minimum flow dropped to its irrigation season level. So we're already. We've already obligated a portion of our Palisades storage space, or already used a portion of that Palisades storage space, I should say, to the tune of about 1,400 acre feet, you know, to compensate for that. So, yeah, moving forward, yeah, those flows in the Snake River, the reach gains we're seeing out of the Thousand Springs are at pretty low numbers, and will probably be bouncing along those minimum flows again for most of this summer.
Okay, thank you.
And that gets back to kind of what Al talked about. I mean, when are we going to start seeing results from our recharge to help us there, which is so critical?
I think we are seeing the results. What we did is we started 10 years too late, in all honesty. And we got to figure out a way to say that in a way that's palatable back into the public and to the legislature.
Anything else from anybody?
Is anybody projecting where we're going to be with storm poles this summer? August is usually a tough time in September.
The tough time is end of June, beginning of July. And then by the end of July, you start seeing those spring flows come back up. We will be bouncing along those minimum flows for probably a 3 to 4 week period.
Okay, if it's in June, that's usually when flow augmentation bails us out. So,
yeah, flow augmentation sometimes comes along right in the middle of that period. So we can cross our fingers and hope.
And remember, our water in Palisades, as I understand it, once we send that down to help adjust that flow for the gauge, that water's gone till Palisades refills.
That's right.
Again. Okay, I don't hear from anybody else. I appreciate y'all taking time to do this. We'll keep trying to keep you in the loop on what's going on, and anytime you need anything, call, and let's make sure we're talking about it.
Vince, can I ask Vince a question?
You can ask. I don't know if there's an answer.
Well, you told me that you always look to see where you can find out what the flows were Is that waterdistrict1.com? Can I pick something off of that that'll help that?
Yeah, if you're looking for the teacup, go to Water District numeric number 1, and then it gives you that information.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Bert, I can send you the link on email if that works for you.
That would be super.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay,
bye.
We need to keep...
Bye.
Just a minute.
Jeff and Clive, stay on the line, please.
Jeff, you still there? I thought I could yell all the way up.
I'm still here. Are we just staying on?
Yes.
Okay.
Clive, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Well...